The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the January-February issue of Scout Life. We're going to go to page 2, Area on the Prairie. Recently, my troop went on an awesome adventure to Swamp Base in Louisiana. I was a bit nervous, but a scout is brave, and I ended up having a lot of fun. We spent a whole week paddling canoe down the Arcapataya River. My favorite part was when we did cool activities like line dancing and branding mugs. One of the best parts was when I got to hold a baby gator. It would be awesome to spread awareness of Swamp Base so more troops could have as much fun as I had. That's from Luke A. in Carrollton, Texas. I'd like to add, you cannot beat the grub at Swamp Base, and by grub, I mean grubs. I love the Louisiana-style assortment of insects and bugs I can feast upon at that camp. But I have to say, readers, you shouldn't go for that purpose. Instead, you should look at the Swamp Base for a setting unlike any other. Speaking of settings, I need to get to my mom's and set the table. She's making Cajun flies tonight, and I'm not about to be late for that. Till next time! Ah! Milestones to Black History. February is Black History Month, during which the birthdays of Abraham Lincoln, February 12, and Frederick Douglass, February 14, are celebrated. They made significant contributions to Black history. Here are some other people and events important to Black history. The Tuskegee Airmen, a group of Black pilots who fought in World War II and proved they could excel in combat, which helped bring about the desegregation in the military. The Little Rock Nine. Nine Black students who demonstrated courage by enrolling in a previously all-white high school in Little Rock, Arkansas in 1957. Their resilience played a significant role in the eventual end of school segregation. In 1863, Lincoln passed the Emancipation Proclamation, declaring enslaved people in some states were free. Douglass, a former slave who played a crucial role after secretly learning to read, Douglass escaped from slavery in 1838 using a sailor's pass and uniform. He eventually reached New York and in 1845 published his autobiography and became a prominent anti-slavery advocate. The March on Washington, a gathering to support equal rights in 1963 in Washington, D.C., where Martin Luther King Jr. gave his famous I Have a Dream speech about a future with equal treatment for everyone. Read it. Claudette Colvin's bold stand against giving up her bus seat 9 months before Rosa Parks marked a significant moment in history, as chronicled in Claude Colvin, I Want Freedom Now. Walk on the winter side. With snowshoes on and sleds in tow, these scouts trudge up a snowy mountain. A 3.8-mile hike doesn't seem like much. You could probably walk one of those miles in less than a half hour. But if you're gaining more than 2,000 feet in elevation up a mountain and powering over snowy trails while pulling a sled full of gear, then it would take you a little longer. It took Troop 280 of Parker, Colorado, nearly 6 hours to make such a demanding hike last winter. It was a challenge, but the scouts didn't give up. They had a destination, a spacious cabin overlooking the snow-capped Rocky Mountains. The views were absolutely beautiful, says Chance Sundermeyer, 16, a life scout. Each window had a different kind of view. Then you go outside and the sun was going down. It was incredible. Checking out the scenery from the cabin definitely was a plus, but so was the journey there as the troop tried this winter activity for the first time. sleds, and snowshoes. This campout required a lot of preparation, including booking the cabin a year ahead. It's a popular place situated on the side of a mountain near Leadville, Colorado, offering spectacular views while sleeping up to 16 on bunks. With the cabin booked, the troop had to figure out its next challenge, getting there. When you're walking in snow, your feet can easily slink into the slush, slowing you down and quickly draining your energy. To combat this, you need to spread out your weight. Wearing snowshoes helps you do this. Historians believe snowshoes were invented about 6,000 years ago. They were made with a piece of wood and some binding to attach to the feet. This simple design let the wearer walk on top of the snow, making travel much easier. The design hasn't changed much over the millennia, though the materials and features have, like lightweight aluminum frames and sharp crampons to add traction. For their trip, Troop 280 rented snowshoes. "We tried one type of snowshoe," says Eagle Scout Corwin Brown, 16. "They had a metal frame and a rubberized canvas material and a mount for your boots. They could have carried all their stuff, but the scouts opted to use another winter device, Polk sleds. This is a sled you drag behind you, designed to comfortably and efficiently transport your gear. Before the outing, the scouts spent a day building their sleds and testing them out. Each sled took 4 hours to complete. "The design was based off one of my dad found online," Corin says. "The base for each sled was purchased at REI, and the paracord, PVC pipe, epoxy, and bolts were found at Home Depot. We did some experimenting with making the brackets," Corin adds. "That was the only thing we had to fabricate ourselves." Slow going. With their gear secured to their sleds and snowshoes on their boots, the scouts set off from a parking lot in Colorado's White River National Forest. "For about a half mile, it was just flat," says Bennett Wilson, 17, a life scout. "Then we hit the trailhead, and it was straight uphill. It helped that other hikers had made a trail in the snow, but even with that and the winter equipment, the hike soon became difficult. The climb was very hard," Bennett says. "It was probably one of the hardest campouts I've been on. We had to take lots of breaks. We had to deal with blisters forming. It was a lot." When tackling a sharp climb, it's a good idea to pace yourself, hydrate, and use trekking poles since they can provide stability as you ascend. "We'd stop every 5 to 10 minutes. It was very steep," says Star Scout Kyle Garwood, 14. "Every fifth stop, we'd drink some water and adjust our sleds." A lofty goal. The scouts were rewarded with a cabin, with stunning views once they made it. They took in the sights while setting up for the night, rolling out sleeping bags on the bunks, firing up the wood-burning stove and cooking a fajita dinner. After eating, reading, and playing a few card games, the scouts were ready for bed. "You don't have to be in your sleeping bag necessarily," Corin says. It was a nice and comfortable temperature in there. Hiking down the mountain the next morning was a lot easier. Instead of a 6-hour trek, it took only 2. Still, it was important for the group to take their time and use their trekking poles to avoid slipping and falling. Despite the difficulty, the troop enjoyed the winter hike. They overcame challenges and got to spend time with each other. "It was the hardest hike I'd ever done, but it was my favorite I'd ever done," says Fisher Wilson, 14, a life scout. And some information from the pages from the hike. We have here on page 13, the troop hikes to a large cabin operated by the 10th Mountain Division Hut Association. The association is named in honor of World War II Army soldiers who trained in the area before deploying to Italy. Then on page 14, Logan Nelson, this is the upper left-hand corner, Logan Nelson takes a water break. "It's important to stay hydrated, even in cold environment." Then to the right, upper corner, page right on page 14, scouts head back down the mountain after spending the night at the cabin. Lower left-hand corner of page 14, the trail was covered in several feet of snow. snowshoes keep you from sinking into the snow. And on the right side of page 14, bottom right, Logan Nelson Left and Chance Sundermeyer both used trekking poles equipped with snow baskets to help them hike. Page 15, upper left-hand corner. Bennett Wilson, followed by Logan Nelson, pulled their gear on pull sleds. The scouts loved the adventure on this outing, but agreed it was tough. And in the middle of page 15, the scouts enjoy a warm breakfast in the cabin. And upper right-hand corner, page 15, the scouts built and tested their polk sleds before using them on the trail. Make sure you do the same before going on a hike, as well as prepare physically to go. Bottom right-hand corner on page 15, selecting snowshoes. Snowshoes come in different styles, each designed for different trails. For flat terrain, a simple snowshoe works well. These tend to be more affordable because they don't have as many features. For more grueling treks, look for snowshoes that come with sturdier binding systems, better crampons, and option to lift your heel. These features all help on a steep hike. Smaller snowshoes are also easier to use on steeper trails, while larger models are better for traveling across powdery snow. Make sure your equipment fits properly and is designed to handle your weight before your trip. Learn how to make and use a polk sled by visiting go.scoutlife.org/polk sled. Scout Life, ask the gear guy. Bundle up. Winter camping? Stay warm in one of these sleeping bags. To get a good night's sleep in the cold, bring a tent suited for potential weather conditions, including winds or snow load. Pack an insulated sleeping pad or two and bring a sleeping bag that will keep you warm. Sleeping bag temperature ratings aren't usually accurate, says Steve Lutz, a designer for Alps Mountaineering and a scouter who has taken Scouting America's cold weather leader training. If it's 0 degrees when you camp, you won't suffer harm in a 0 degree bag, but you'll likely be a lot more comfortable in a negative 20 degree bag, says Lutz. Most sleeping bags are rated for the extreme temperature you can use them in. Some also list a comforting rating. Get a bag rated for colder temperatures than you expect, and whatever bag you choose, always travel with extra layers you can sleep in if you're cold, including a down jacket and fleece of insulated pants. How insulation works. Winter sleeping bags are insulated with either goose down or a polyester synthetic. Both trap air warm by your body and form a protective insulating envelope around you. Down is warmer by weight, packed smaller than synthetic, and is almost always more expensive. Some down is treated to repel moisture, but in general, when down gets wet, it loses its air pockets and ability to insulate. Synthetic insulation is warm even if it gets damp, but many people think it doesn't feel as good to sleep in as down. Most synthetic insulated bags are more affordable than down ones. When temperature ratings are equal, higher quality insulation is always lighter. Features. When you're camping in cold weather, a draft collar around the hood of your sleeping bag and a draft tube along the inside zipper will keep your bag heat, body heat inside. If your sleeping bag doesn't have a hood, wear a warm hat or fleecy buff and cinch the top of the bag to stay warm. An easy-to-reach internal or external pocket is a great place to store a headlamp. Two-way zippers or vents make a cold weather bag more versatile because they allow you to adjust your temperature. The snugger a sleeping bag fits, the less air you have to heat, and the warmer you'll be. A mummy-shaped bag is often trimmer, but if you're a side sleeper or you flip-flop during the night, a mummy may feel restrictive. More affordable bags are often cut large unless they're specifically for youth. Winter hacks. Here are a few winter hacks for staying warm. Always use an insulated sleeping bag. Fill a Nalgene bottle with boiled water right before bed. Slide the bottle inside a sock and put it inside your sleeping bag. That kickstarts the warming process when you're first climb into your bag. Lutz also recommends changing into clean, dry clothing before zipping up for the night. As you hike, your clothes absorb moisture, Lutz says. If you get in your sleeping bag without changing, you risk making your bag damp, which is uncomfortable. Hang your dirty clothes and boots in a tent vestibule to dry. Whichever sleeping bag you buy, consider upgrading the compression stuff sack to ones that's lighter and easier to compress than the one bag that came with. The bags. Looking for a versatile bag for autumn, winter, and spring that you can layer up inside when you push the bag's temperature limit? We recommend Kelty's Cosmic Down, 20 degrees. In many locations, a 20-degree bag can be used year-round, and while you might have to unzip it in summer or cinch it down and sleep in layers of clothing in cold temps, it's about as versatile a bag as you can buy. It's trimmed with trapezoid-shaped baffles and big foot box that makes the bag feel less confining. It's made fully recycled fabrics with a planet-safe, water-repellent coating. And we love the zippered stash pocket. If it's well below freezing, Ray's Frost Break 5 Degrees is a great choice. It uses four layers of synthetic offset insulation to prevent cold spots and has double draw cords so you can adjust the hood and neck separately. The external stash pocket is perfect for a headlamp. And because this bag also comes in short, regular, and long, it fits everyone. One of the most affordable true winter sleeping bags you can buy. Alps Mountaineering Vibe 0 degrees. Has a spacious cut and neck and zipper draft collars. The synthetic insulation is offset to prevent cold spots. The bag is basic, but the price is right, which makes it great for anyone interested in trying winter camping. It comes in regular and long sizes. Kelty's Semi-Rectangular Supernova Down 0. Bag uses 550 fill power down to keep you warm on winter adventures. The bag has a spacious cut with a 270-degree zipper so you can unzip it flat and use it as a blanket when it's warmer out. The Supernova Down has a full draft tube and collar, but it doesn't have a hood. For deep winter camping, we like Mountain Hardware's Lamina, minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit. Seamless construction prevents cold spots and keeps the loft in the synthetic insulation. The light, compressible, water-repelling shell feels silky and makes this bag 15% lighter than previous versions. It comes with left or right zippers in regular and long sizes with a spacious storage stack and a compression stuff sack. Find gear here. Gear Guy makes finding information online a snap. Just visit go.scoutlife.org/gear guy for links to all the gear shown here. Page 20 through 21. Happy as clams. Pulling a meal from the sea requires determination and know-how. Scouts gathered around a table at camp. Before them was a fantastic feast. Boiled corn, potatoes, shrimp, sausage, and pasta with their choice of marinara or creamy white sauce. But the main dishes were what the scouts caught earlier that day. Crabs and clams. Crabbing and clamming were new activities for Troop 555 of West Lynn, Oregon. They didn't have to travel far to try it. After a short drive west from their Portland suburb, the scouts pitched their tents at Camp Meriwether, which sits close to several coastal bays, perfect places to hunt for seafood. Feeling clammy. Low tide is the best time to search for clams. The troop woke up at 7 a.m., prepared to collect them. We had to bring waterproof boots. We had to bring clam shovels, says Annie Morris, 14, a life scout. We definitely had to bring buckets. Other tools they brought were clam guns. No, they weren't going to blast mollusks out of the muck. A clam gun is a long tube you press into the ground to pull up columns of sand that hopefully have clams inside. You pull it up And then you dig with your hands really fast, says Lucy Morris, 12, a first-class scout. The mud was sticky. It'd get wet in your fingernails. Even if you get a clam, it doesn't mean you can keep it. State laws dictate the limits for species and quantities you can gather. It's important to know those laws and to have a proper license with you. The girls collected a few dozen clams before the tide returned. I was watching the water to make sure we weren't out too long, says Life Scout Claire Rainey, 17. In a pinch. After lunch, the scouts headed over to Marina to go crabbing. They were briefed on safety and regulations. Only male crabs that were more than 5 3/4 inches could be collected. Females must be tossed back to help sustain the population. They took turns riding a boat over to traps that were already baited with stinky fish heads and chicken wings. The bait attracted the crabs, which could still crawl away, so the scouts had to quickly lift the traps. They pulled up a lot of females, but after a few hours they had collected quite a few large male crabs. There's only a certain amount of time that you can keep a crab alive before you cook it, says Audrey. Cy, 16, a Life Scout. We had the Marina cook them. Meanwhile, the clams could stay in a cooler of salt water and they'd be fine to prepare at camp. Let's party! With their seafood in hand, the troop headed back to camp where they made a delicious meal. In addition to the seafood boil, they made Dutch oven strawberry shortcake and cinnamon rolls with cream cheese frosting. That weekend was Annie's birthday, so they decided celebrated by going on a fun scavenger hunt, which led them to one of the covered shelters in camp they had decorated for the occasion. The scouts enjoyed the crabbing and clamming camp out. It wasn't just the great food. They also learned a lot about nature. I'm interested in environmental science. I'm glad I tried it, Annie says. It was cool to harvest it and then eat it. The main thing I learned was to always allow the seagulls. They knew where the good stuff was. Follow the seagulls. They knew where the good stuff was. The ultimate finish. When it comes to painting your Pinewood Derby car, you have lots of options. Here's one way to make that block of wood look as smooth as steel. Sandpaper and paint can turn a block of wood into a sleek Pinewood Derby racer. The trick is using the right materials and allowing plenty of time. For this project, you need help from a trusted adult, along with coarse, medium, and fine grit sandpaper, liquid sanding sealer, sold at hobby shops, enamel paint, decals or self-stick numbers, sold at stationery stores or hobby shops, clear gloss spray paint, floor wax paste. Don't wait until the last minute. For best results, you need to start at least a week or two before the race. Begin by wrapping sandpaper around a block of wood, 1 inch by 3 inches. Without a block of wood for support, sandpaper can leave dips and gullies in the pinewood body. Round the corners of the pinewood with coarse sandpaper. Change to medium grit paper for smoothing rough edges. Finish with fine sandpaper to remove any sanding marks. Hide the grain. Just painting the pinewood won't hide the wood's grain. Apply 2 coats of liquid sanding sealer. Let the sealer dry overnight before sanding it out lightly with the fine grit paper. If the grain still shows, apply 2 more coats of sealer. Let it dry overnight and sand again. Repeat the process until the grain disappears. Choose a color of your racer. Then apply 2 to 3 coats of enamel paint to the pinewood body. Spraying the model with paint from an aerosol can is easier than using a brush. If you use a brush, dip only the lower third of the brush into the paint. Use single, smooth strokes instead of dabbing the paint on the model. Blend the strokes so they can't be seen. Pick a number. Place a race number on the car, sealed and protected by spraying the entire model with clear gloss paint. Some clear paints might make the numbers curl. To make sure yours works, test it on a decal or number stuck to scrap plastic before spraying your racer. Let the clear paint dry for at least a week. Then, cover the model with floor wax paste and polish to a high gloss. The wax will protect the car and help give your racer the look of shining steel. And here are the instructions on page 23. Wrap sandpaper around a block of wood for support. The block will help prevent lumps and bumps. 2, hide the wood's grain with at least 2 coats of sanding sealer. Let the sealer dry overnight. 3, apply paint with long, smooth strokes for a seamless finish. Dabbing paint causes splotches. 4, stick-on numbers will stay in place on a smooth finish. Protect them with clear gloss paint. Just do your best. This project requires help from an adult and lots of time and patience. Instead, you can always just paint your car with one layer of paint from your local hobby store. It takes only a few minutes, and it will still look great. The important thing is to have fun and do your best. And don't forget, number 5, apply floor wax and polish. The science of racing. If you've built and raced a Pinewood Derby car in Cub Scouts, you've dabbled in mechanical engineering. Mechanical engineers design and construct machines, products, and technology systems. If it has a moving part, a mechanical engineer has likely worked on it. A Pinewood Derby car is a wooden block on wheels. Pretty basic. But to race this simple machine down a track as quickly as you can requires some specific knowledge about weight, distribution, gravity, drag, and friction. For most Pinewood Derby races, cars should not weigh more than 5 ounces, but getting the weight close to that number helps with the car's speed. You might need to add weight to your car to do this. If you place those weights near the rear axle, you increase your car's potential energy. When the cars are released at the top of the track, that potential energy converts into kinetic energy as gravity pulls the car down. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.